Again, we praise you for your goodness to us in this past week, your provision, your protection, your guidance, and thank you for bringing us all here this morning. We pray for your Holy Spirit to accomplish his purpose in each heart and life. Revive us again, we pray. Draw us closer to you. May your power be seen in us as a result of having been here today. Father, we pray that our words will be pleasing and honoring to you as we worship you and lift your name on high. And we pray that as the word is presented, and as the ministry is shared with us this morning by our brother, we praise you for your calling upon his life and his service for you in missionary outreach. We pray that it will challenge our hearts and encourage us as we hear the news of what you are doing and as we continue in our prayers and support of our missionary family. Father, it is a joy to be here, and we pray that as we continue through the hour, your name will be glorified. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
And you may be seated. As I was saying, we're certainly happy to have the Allenson family with us today. I know they're going to be... What are we doing?
Sorry for the confusion. We already knew what was going on, and just the confusion on timing just a little bit. So Rick had already talked to me about taking the kids and all that. So Rebecca, Carla, I don't know, Alexander, are you going to sing? All right. If you take your Bibles this morning... And we're going to turn to the book of Chronicles, the book of Chronicles, First Chronicles. In chapter number 22. So after the service, if you... I'd like to come by the table in the back there. We have a few things that you could pick up. Some things are free, some things are for donation, and some things are for decoration. I said that because the one church lady came up and took one of my decorations and thought it was for take. So she just took it along, and I felt bad and just let her take it. You know, it was like a ceramic lizard from Mexico, but what are you going to do? But... So just mention a few things. We have our prayer cards. We have this size here, which is good size. And on we also have business cards. And so different sizes. You can take one of each, a couple. You can put them different places. Remember to pray for us. And pray for Rebecca's health. Pray for the vision for the 20 churches. And, of course, we need to continue to see God bring more leaders into the church and all of that. There's also some things from the mission board. We have some magazines that are free. You can take those about missions. And there's also, let me see if I can pull it up here. The mission board has an app for free that you can download on your phone or tablet. And it's this little card here, Macedonia Radio. And there's instructions on the back of the card there. And this basically is music, preaching with an emphasis on missions. For example, I was in the mission board is in Georgia. I was there last month, I guess about a month ago, and was able to record a week's worth of 5-minute encouragement about missions and so forth. So you can check that out. That's for free. You can grab one of those. There's some candy back there. I think we have some Mexican candy back there. The Mexicans like to put chili in their candy, so like sweet and spicy, you know. Some people like them, some people don't, you know. Try it. If you don't like it, maybe we have a trash can around here, preach. We won't be offended at all if you decide you don't like it, all right? And lastly, we mentioned the music. And I know in the past we've had music, and probably some of you have some of our CDs. I'm not sure. Does anybody have any of our CDs from before? Pastor does. He hasn't thrown them out. Anybody else not throwing them out? All right, Brother Rick in the back, he has one or two of them probably. He has at least one. All right. Well, we've been recording. My first album was recorded in 2001, so about almost 20 years ago. And we've been blessed to record 6 English music albums as well as 2 Spanish. So does anybody speak Spanish? French? Oui, oui? No? Okay, no. All right. So anyway, so the six English albums, you can look on the back of the CD. The song titles are on there, so you can see, maybe you recognize some of the song titles. This is our newest one. This just came out. It's got the title song that we just sang, Carry the Light. The song on the video is one of the songs on there as well, How Will They Know. It's got a lot of mission songs. So this also has Carry the Light, but in Spanish at the end of the CD. So you can hear it in English and Spanish, and you can practice your Spanish with that, all right? So this here, and this is something new that we're doing. We have all of our six albums on this USB flash drive. This is MP3 ready, where some of the newer cars don't even have CD players. That's what I've been told. Does anybody have a newer car that doesn't have a CD player? No, Brother Rick does. All right. Well, those CDs that you have of me are no good. So now you have to get this, brother. But even if you have a stereo at home with a USB port or even a computer, you can put it in a computer and then transfer it to your phone or tablet. So basically, these are the digital files. They are MP3 ready for your MP3 player. So this is six albums. Okay, so just remember that. It's donation. We don't charge a particular amount. So if you want to give a donation for a CD or a couple, you know, you can do that. And, of course, if you want this, just be mindful. It's six different albums. So when you think about your donation. And all the money that comes in from the music will go towards paying off, you know, the recording and so forth. But all the profit is going to go towards a missions trip we're planning with one of the young ladies in Mexico who feels called to go to Africa as a missionary. And I forgot to mention that a little bit ago. And so, Lord willing, the end of this year, we're heading back in July. The end of this year or beginning of next year, we'd like to take her to Africa, visit a missionary there. And as you can imagine, the airfare to go to Africa is probably going to be, I don't know, I've heard at least $1,000. So to kind of offset those costs, we're putting all of the profit from the music into that trip. And so when you donate for the music, you're giving towards a cause as well. So you can check all that out. And forgive me if I speak for eternity. I don't want to speak for eternity, but when we get to eternity, we can speak, all right? That's a joke. Anyway, didn't catch the joke, I guess, huh? All right. First Chronicles chapter number 22. I just want to share this morning some thoughts. I've been reading for months now from started in 1 Samuel, the life of David. Then I was reading and studying the life of Solomon, then the Kings, and now I'm into 2 Chronicles. And the book of Chronicles, 1 and 2 Chronicles, as you can imagine by the term, Chronicles is basically a summary or the chronicles of that time period. And so you'll notice that if you read the Chronicles, a lot of the stories are similar as to the stories in the book of Samuel and Kings. The life of David, the life of Solomon, the building of the temple, all of the kings and so forth. And it's been, I've enjoyed studying this portion of Scripture and the men of God like King David and then King Solomon, and just some tremendous truths. And I've been reading in Chronicles, and actually just this past week in 2 Chronicles, where Solomon finishes the temple. And we might look at there towards the end of the passage of Scripture. But here in 1 Chronicles chapter number 22, we see the passage of Scripture where David is getting towards the end of his life, and he had a burden to build a house for God. If you remember, if you've read this portion of Scripture, David desired to build a house for God. See, God, for the nation of Israel, all the other nations had kings with palaces and so forth, but the nation of Israel, God was their leader, so to speak. And then, of course, Moses and Joshua, you know, they had, God gave a physical leader to follow. But God told the nation what to do. So I believe you would call that a monotheistic or something like that. I'm not real history buff and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, so the nation of Israel, they wanted a king just like the other nations. And so they clamored for a king, and God granted them a king, King Saul. And he said, if you get a king, he's gonna take advantage of you. That's what King Saul did. You know, he's going to take your money and you know, all that. But, you know, they wanted a king like the other nations. So then God established King David. We know that story. And then David saw that God, his presence, we know that God is a spirit. And David worshipped God. David wrote many of the Psalms and understood that one of the Psalms that David wrote said, where can I go from the presence of God? You know, if I go, you know, wherever I go, he's there, you know, in the depths of the sea and so forth. But David knew that God's presence for the nation of Israel was represented by the Ark of the Covenant. And in the temporal tabernacle in the Holy of Holies. And so David began to get a burden that he wanted a place for God. And God told David, well, you know, I haven't had a place yet, but God was honored that David would want to honor him. But he said, the problem is, David, that you're a man of war. You're a man of blood. And I'm not going to give you your request in your lifetime. But I will establish your son. I will give your son a time of peace, and he will build the house. And it really, we think of Solomon's temple, but really it was the palace and the temple and many, many things of construction. Solomon constructed a lot. Solomon had a lot of riches, and he just constructed beautiful things. So we get here in towards the end of David's life, and in chapter 22, David begins to instruct Solomon and the nation of Israel in what's going to happen. So David had acquired things, and we're going to see a little bit of that. So verse number one. Then David said, this is the house of the Lord God, and this is the altar of the burnt offering for Israel. And David commanded to gather together the strangers that were in the land of Israel. And he set masons to hew wrought stones to build the house of God. And David prepared iron in abundance for the nails, for the doors of the gates, and for the joinings, and brass in abundance without weight. And also cedar trees in abundance for the Zidonians, and they of Tyre brought much cedar wood to David. And David said, Solomon, my son, is young and tender, and the house that is to be builded for the Lord, listen to this, must be exceedingly magnificent. When I read that word, I said, I didn't know that was a word, magnificent. Have you ever seen the word magnificent? Well, if you've read your whole Bible through, you probably jumped over that word. Or you never read your Bible through, because there it is. Amen? But magnificent, you know, so we can use that word. Wow, that's magnificent. I like that word. Isn't that great? Magnificent. It just has a really cool feel to it. You know. And listen to the passion of David. David says this, hey, this is what God's going to do. We're going to build a house for God. And I'm going to start getting things together, and wood and nails and iron and so forth. And listen, the Lord's house that's to be built needs to be magnificent. And of fame and glory throughout all countries. And you can say, well, David, I got a little bit of pride there. But really, honestly, it wasn't pride. Listen to what this verse says. I will therefore now make preparation for it. So David prepared abundantly before his death. Now, when we look towards the end here, we're going to go to Solomon's dedication and his prayer. And it was magnificent. It was beautiful. And God blessed in such a way. I mean, just everything was done to exact detail. Everything was done to beauty. God's house was built in such a way. And you know, after reading Kings, because this is, you know, in the book of 2 Samuel and the book of Kings, we see the same story. And then you see David passes on, Solomon passes on, and then you see the kings start coming and they don't follow God. And when I began to read Chronicles, where it recaps, you know, where we're reading now, it made me think about the fact that God blessed in such a wonderful way, and he gave the promise, if you'll follow me, I will establish the line of David forever. But if you stop following me, he basically said it's going to be destroyed. And what's sad is that when you read Kings, little by little, you'll see nations come in and besiege Jerusalem and besiege the temple and take away the gold, the golden things that David and Solomon made. All of the beauty was destroyed. In fact, to the point when the temple was completely destroyed, Solomon's temple. And then Solomon's temple was rebuilt, and that was destroyed. And now for the millennium, during the tribulation period, there'll be a third temple of Solomon. Imagine that. But anyway, going back to where we're at here, that verse there is kind of the key about this passage of Scripture, is that David says, listen, we're going to do something great. We're going to do something great for God. And if you read all of the surrounding passages, and then you read when Solomon, and we'll probably cover just a few verses of it, when Solomon dedicates, what David is trying to say is not that it's magnificent for my name, but it's magnificent for God's name. And it's hinted here. He says that it would be exceeding magnificent of fame and of glory throughout all countries. And he doesn't say God's glory, but that's the idea. That's the hint. And then when we see that when Solomon dedicates it, he basically says it's to God's glory. To look what God has done. Amen? And, you know, when we look at God's, God is a spirit. We must worship him in spirit and in truth. But we are the church of Jesus Christ. We are the building, the spiritual building that Jesus, that God dwells in. Now, he's everywhere. He's a spirit. But his presence, his power dwells with his people. And in the Old Testament, it was in one particular place. It was in the tabernacle, in the Holy of Holies, and it was represented by one thing. The Ark of the Covenant, right? And then when Solomon's temple was built, it was in the temple. And the people had to go to a particular place, right? But then in John 4, we know that Jesus tells the woman at the well, there's coming a day that God is a spirit. God wants people to worship him in spirit and in truth. And you don't have to go to Jerusalem. And he said, the day has come. And the beauty is that we are the church of Jesus Christ. We are the magnificent building of Jesus Christ on this earth. We're the church of Jesus Christ. And yet, a lot of times, churches kind of meander their way through. We're the church. Poor us. No. We're the church. Amen? And the church should be something that is magnificent, magnificent. I'm going to keep on using that word. Magnificent. The church should be something exciting and worshiping God and the beauty of it. And even though you know, the size doesn't really matter, at the end of the day, what's important is what you have. Right? Let me put it this way. There's buildings full because it's Sunday. And they're dancing and they're given false gospel and false doctrine, and God's not pleased with them. Don't think for a moment because there's 3,000 people in a stadium, God's pleased. And we know that, listen, Look in Scripture. There's times when there's a remnant. There's a few, you know. And in the end times, it even says that, hey, a lot of people are going to go away from the faith, right? And there are churches that are bigger that are keeping the faith, right? But just because you're a small church doesn't mean that you're not the church of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? Don't go walk around with that sad face. It's not pretty. Amen? The joy of the Lord. Sunday is the day of worship. To come, and we are the church. We gather, but the church is not Sunday. It's not this building. We're the church. We're the church when we go out. And think about that. I mean, I don't know. What do we have, 20, 30 people here? That's a pretty good crowd of people going out into this area that represent the church of Jesus Christ. Amen? But what are we impacting our world? Are we fulfilling what God wants the church of Jesus Christ to be? Are we a witness? Are we going about, or are we playing church and religion? Right? And so, God wants to do great things. And listen, the church, until God, Jesus returns, the church is not dead. And so, like Paul says in Corinthians, wake up and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of truth. Get involved. If you don't see children, then go invite children out. Go offer your vehicle to go pick up some children and bring them in to do a kids class. Start out with two or three, let it double to six. Then grow to 15. Why not? Or we can just sit by like everyone else in the nation of Israel and just keep on doing what we're doing. But David said, no, I have a vision. I have a burden. I want to build something great for God. I want to build God a house. And God said, well, you can't, but you can prepare it. So David started preparing. Amen? And so now we see, then he called for Solomon, his son, and charged him to build a house for the Lord God of Israel. That's the key. It's not for you. It's not for me. It's not for Pastor Boyers over there. It's not for him. It's for God. It's God's church. Amen? And so let's build a house for God. Let's build a work for God. And David said to Solomon, my son, as for me, it was in my mind to build a house unto the name of the Lord my God. But the word of the Lord came to me, saying, thou hast shed blood abundantly, and hast made great wars, and shalt not build a house unto my name, because thou hast shed much blood upon the earth in my sight. Behold, a son shall be born to thee, who shall be a man of rest, and I will give him rest from all his enemies round about. For his name shall be Solomon, and I will give peace and quietness unto Israel in his days. He shall build a house for my name, and he shall be my son, and I will be his father, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. Wow, what a promise. Now, my son, the Lord be with thee. Wow. One missionary said, expect great things from God. You need to attempt great things for God. God's big. And he wants us to honor his glorious name and to magnify his name. And when we put big things into our hearts and minds to honor God, you know what God's going to do? He's going to honor that. He's going to honor that. Because he's God. He wants to magnify his name in all the earth. Amen? And so, David says to Solomon, listen, my son, the Lord is with thee, and the Lord prosper thee, and build the house of the Lord thy God as he hath said of thee. Imagine that, to tell your son, listen, God told me even before you were born that I was going to have a son, and he told me his name, and he told me what he would do. And you're him. Go do it. Awesome. Oh, what a privilege. What a purpose, right? Now, God doesn't always do it exactly like that. But listen, God has a purpose for all of our lives. As believers, He wants to use us. And listen, God doesn't imagine something. He's all knowing. He doesn't imagine something. Oh, yeah, you know what? I think I need a Moses. No. God had Moses planned. Right? That's why when in Egypt they tried to kill the babies, that God worked to keep Moses from being killed. Why? Because God had chosen Moses. Right? Think about that. What an awesome privilege. But he says this, verse 12. Only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding. Now, do you know why when Solomon became king, he said, God said, what do you want? He says, you know what? I've been given a great responsibility. This nation is great. The task is big. You know what, God? Will you give me wisdom? Because his father was already instilling this principle in his heart and mind. See, Solomon, his wife turned his heart away from God. We know that. But in the beginning, Solomon was a tremendous king and governed. And he had great wisdom. And he asked the classic, what do you want from me? And he asked the right thing. But why did he ask the right thing? Because his father was teaching him when he was young to put value on his relationship with God, to put value on wisdom from God. Listen, you're going to do this great work, but you're going to need wisdom. In fact, he said, only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding. Listen, Solomon, go do this great work. But you know what? This is God's work. So you know what? You're going to need God's wisdom. Right? Fair? You know, if this is God's church, then God, you're going to have to give us wisdom. God, you're going to have to give us what we need. Because it's your work. Well, so Solomon was told that by his father. And of course, that's why later on he asked for it, right? So we're coming around third base, if you like baseball. It's getting baseball season. We're coming around third base. That means we're coming around to finish. All right. So look what it says next. He says this. Only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding, give thee charge concerning Israel, that thou mayest keep the law of the Lord thy God. Then shalt thou prosper if thou takest heed to fulfill the statutes and judgments which the Lord charged Moses with concerning Israel. Be strong and of good courage. Dread not, nor be dismayed. Now, behold, in my trouble, I have prepared for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold and 1,000 talents of silver, and of brass and iron without weight, for it is in abundance. Timber also and stone have I prepared, that thou mayest add thereto. Moreover, there are workmen with thee in abundance, hewers and workers of stone and timber, and all manner of cunning men for every manner of work. Of the gold, the silver, and the brass and the iron, there is no number. Arise therefore and be doing, and the Lord be with thee. That's a great summary. Arise up. Get up. You know? Some people think that God's given us a generous backside so we can rest on our couch. I think God's given us a generous backside so that when our parents paddle us, we don't get hurt, right? I know some people don't believe in that kind of discipline nowadays, but I was joking. You know, God's designed our body in a perfect way. When we sit down, that cushions our seat, right? But sometimes we like to get cushiony. The pews are cushioned. I've been in churches that don't have cushions on the bottom there. That might be a good thing. Because after about 30 minutes, you get antsy, you know? And so once they get antsy, the preacher's got to finish. And that means get up. Church is not about coming, sitting, and saying, oh, Pastor, that was such a wonderful message, going out and being Zane. Arise up. Do. Do what you know you're supposed to do. Go do it. Go do the work of the Lord. Go tell people about Christ. Go start something. Go do something. Imagine what you can do for Christ and watch God provide for you to do it. All right? So, don't be surprised next week if Pastor takes all the cushioning off the seats. But get up, arise, go do. Right? Amen? Get a fire underneath of you. Move it. God wants to do great things. He's not dead. Right? Amen. Adam's standing up. He's telling me it's time to quit. That's what he's doing. All right. We got 1, 2, 3 more verses, all right? David also commanded all the princes of Israel to help Solomon his son, saying, "Is not the Lord your God with you? And hath he not given you rest on every side?" So this is key. Solomon's the leader, right? But you know what? God also says, hey, the leader, but the whole unit. In this case, the church. So, Pastor Boyers, get up, rise up with what you have left of what God's given you. Do something great for God. But church, get behind them. Do something great for God. Amen? And it's not a matter of what we've done in the past. It doesn't matter if you ran 1,000. You can become complacent with a church of 1,000 and sit there and do nothing. Right? You got to 1,000 20 years ago, and now you haven't done anything for God in the last 20 years. Get up and do something for God. It doesn't matter what number. It's what is your life impacting the world and the church of Jesus Christ in 2020? What is it doing for God now? Amen? So, hey, church, is not the Lord your God with you? It's a rhetorical question. Absolutely. Has he not given you rest on every side? For he hath given the inhabitants of the land into mine hand, and the land is subdued before the Lord and before his people. Now, set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Arise, therefore, and build ye the sanctuary of the Lord God, to bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord and the holy vessels of God into the house that is to be built to the name of the Lord. So, arise up and do something for God. Amen? Now, I know that message was not a normal missions message, but it's what God told me to preach. So, just to be clear, I need it for me. Because even though God's done some things in Mexico, listen, we got vision for the future, but it means we have to rise up. I have to get the church behind what God's given me to do. And we need to be unified, and we need to do the work, not just talk about it, not just say what we want to do, but actually start doing it and watch God provide and do great things. Amen? So, even if that message wasn't for you, it was for me. I need it. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer. Father, as Pastor comes up to finish the invitation, the time to meditate upon the message and the service, I pray that you'll use this church to continue to impact this area of Montgomery County with the gospel, and that the neighbors will know that this is part of your church, the church of the living God. It's alive. It's impacting their community. Oh God, I pray that they would be unified and see you do great things in the future. Thank you for what you've done in the past, but we ask that you'll help us to continue striving, as the Apostle Paul said, forgetting the things which are behind, we press toward the mark. We press forward. Thank you for speaking to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.